This episode of The Yarn is sponsored by Heinemann and their professional book, Sharing Books, Talking Science, exploring scientific concepts with children's literature. Colby talked with co-authors Valerie Bang-Jensen and Mark Lubkowitz.
Read alouds provide the perfect opportunity to talk about science while enjoying a children's picture book or any book.
Plot in literature is seen as cause and effect by scientists.
And setting is seen as systems by scientists.
Yeah, it's got a boundary, it's got interacting components.
And all books follow some sort of pattern. And what scientists do is they discover and reveal patterns.
So one of the things that our book does is helps teachers pull any book off of their shelf and see these concepts so that they can launch discussions about them in the classroom.
Science is everywhere, in everything we do, see, and read. Sharing Books, Talking Science provides the guidance you need to help your students talk, think, and read like scientists. Visit Heinemann.com to learn more and order a copy.
Hi, Sarah. How are you today?
Hey, Colby. I'm terrific. It's really nice to visit with you again. It's been a couple of years.
Welcome to The Yarn, a School Library Journal production. I'm Colby Sharp. In today's episode, I chat with the author of PAX and PAX Journey Home, Sarah Pennypacker. We talk about whether or not she originally knew what happened after the end of PAX, why she wrote PAX Journey Home, and her admiration for her readers. What do you remember about finishing writing PAX? So before it got to readers, before 900,000 plus copies were sold, like what do you remember when you were done writing the book?
It was a tough journey. I mean, it's a tough book to read, but let me tell you, it was a tough book to write. A lot of hard things happen, and my writing shoulders are not that strong, so I had to really work them. But what I remember is this. I made a very, very careful choice about the ending of PAX. I wanted to be sure that if my readers had done the emotional work of going through that book, I wanted to leave the ending open enough that whatever they were really invested in happening could possibly happen in the hours or days after my book ends. I think you know what I mean, that, you know, if you really, really were invested in Peter being back with a pet, that can happen. If you were really invested in them both being free or moving on, that happens, right? And I did that on purpose. Whoever has a really invested feeling about this ending, they get it. Okay. So I did expect that I would hear from a lot of readers saying, but I really want to know what happened afterwards. And my response, whether I actually got in touch with them or not, was, it's up to you. That's up to you. So anyway, I got a lot of questions about what happened the next day or in the next hour. One day, years after the book came out, a couple of years afterward, my agent was talking to me on the phone. He said, "Oh, I got a fan mail for you by accident. It came to me, and wow, this person really wants to know what happened." So I laughed and said, "Well, Stephen, that's what they all want to know is what happened after." And I said, "You know why I didn't tell them?" And then I said, "Of course, I know what happens to them." And he said, "Oh, really? What do you know? What do you feel happens?" And then I started talking to him and I started telling him apparently in depth everything that happened a year later. And after a while, we both realized, oh, you have a full book there. And he told my editor that. My editor called me up and said, "I really think you have a book here. I know you didn't mean to, but that's a pretty great book." So I wrote it. And for me, I didn't mean to do it, but I guess somewhere I really wanted to be back with the foxes. And I really wanted to heal a few things that I had shone a light on a few things that were hurt and wounded during that time, things that war does. And I wanted to be part of healing it. So that's how it started. That's how this book happened, the new one.
So when you finished PAX, mm-hmm. how much further into the future had you thought about these characters?
For me, I knew that in the next few moments, I knew that Peter had gone down and had a time with his father, where given all he had been through and all he had learned, they could speak a little bit in ways that they hadn't before. So I knew that would happen. And I was pretty sure that he was then, one of the things he would say to his father was, I know where I belong until you're out of the war. I'm going back to Bolas. And I knew that his dad was going to be all right with that. But, and I, that's about all I knew. I think that, but I started thinking about it, you know, pretty quickly after that, I started going further.
Is that normal for you to think about what your characters do next after
the war is over? It's different for all of them. Sometimes, well, for instance, Clementine, she was such a real person to me that I just know that she's growing up and that's fine. But for me, I felt that Clementine had been such an open person that she just really opened herself up to readers and to me that I thought she deserved privacy. So I was willing to give her that. I was willing to say, you go off, girl, you're going to have a great life and I'm wishing you well, but we won't be studying you this year. So that was fine. Some characters, because of the way that I end books, I feel absolutely fine that they're going to go off now and they're going to make their own lives and I don't think about them. But boy, Pax and Peter, I really thought about both of them. And it didn't help that I live in a place at least half the year where there are plenty of foxes. And so I would see foxes all the time and they'd be, you know, trotting out and I'd have this flash. I'd say, oh my gosh, if that were Bristle and Bristle's tail were burnt, how would she keep warm? You know? And then I started thinking, oh my goodness, foxes in the spring have kits. And I found myself watching videos of fox kits whenever I didn't want to write. You know, like, oh, writing's too hard today. I think I'll go look at some fox kits. Warning, don't start. Don't start looking at videos of fox kits.
You've all been warned. Yeah. Now, I guess I'm obsessed with the word fun. Would you say like writing this was fun, or would you use a different word to describe it? Was there pressure this time with the way that kids have responded to Pax? Like, how was writing Pax's Journey Home mentally different than writing Pax?
It was quite a bit different. First of all, I didn't have to do the same amount of research. I was already there. I knew how foxes operated. I knew what the environment was. I had already studied and determined that. So it was way more fun. I mean, the fox chapters are really fun. It's fun to be a fox. The way I decided to be a fox was to keep kind of human, like, motivation. I know the motivations are different, but they have motivation. They have memory. They have social bonds. They have a lot of the things that humans have. What they don't have is self-reflection, I believe, or neuroses. So foxes are just in it for the minute, you know? They're having fun in the environment, or they're dodging the storm. They're kind of not worrying what they're looking like. So that was very fun. I loved being a fox again. For Peter, the first time I wrote Pax, when I wrote Pax, it was a hard slog. That poor kid, he lost a lot. And I felt more like, you know, the mother in me kept wanting to hug him and take him in. But that wouldn't work for the book. Anyway, this time, another difference was that I was healing instead of wounding. You know, I wounded Peter a couple of times, once by breaking his foot. People were wounded and the land was wounded and there was a war. So this time I healed those things. I helped to heal Peter, although in the beginning of the book, he's not healed yet. He's in more trouble than we left him. But I talked about the things that we can do when war has come and harmed things. So in this book, it's not a spoiler to tell you that they were fighting over the war and they ended up polluting. Oh, they're fighting over water. Excuse me. They ended up polluting water and diverting water and ruining water sources. So that needed to be healed, and that was much more fun to write about. Peter becomes part of a battalion of water warriors who go in and fix things. And then, of course, I got to write about a fox kit. No surprise either. You can see it right on the cover of Pack's Journey Home, the beautiful cover John Clausen did for the book. There's a fox kit. And let me tell you, that was really beautiful to be part of.
Mm. Since you brought up John, what do you think of John's work in these two books?
Oh, gosh. And even our, he's so brilliant, of course. And I've met him several times, and I'm always impressed by how thoughtful he is. You know, you may look at those drawings, but until you hear him talk about the choices he made, I don't think you fully appreciate how thoughtful he was and how much depth is there. He and I really bonded over this, the realization that we both came to the project with a certain understanding. And then the more we learned about our subjects, foxes especially, the more we wanted to respect them, the more we wanted to give them dignity, was John's word. So that's why, for instance, we don't look at the fox's face on either cover. That's to step back and give the foxes some privacy and dignity, which I really appreciated. So I just thought they were, the illustrations are beautiful. The final illustration just knocks me to my knees. I love that. It was just, here's the reward for all the caring through two books is that final illustration for me.
What was the hardest part about writing this book?
This book here, okay, the hardest part for me was I have a wounded character, Peter. He has lost a lot. And what's hard for me is being so careful with wounded kids, because they are not going to make perfect choices. When a kid has a loss or is harmed in some way, they don't often have the resources to just bounce back or just put it in proper perspective or to know how to respond. And so they'll often go into some form of denial or just something that's not really healthy. That's what Peter does. He's had losses, and I need to respect this. I had to work on the fact that he's going to protect himself at whatever cost, and it won't be the right solution in the beginning, but I need to respect that. You know, as an adult, I just would want my character to understand how to respond, a healthier way to respond. So I have Peter respond in ways that gave me chills, kind of like, oh, please don't do that. Please don't do that. But I felt it was honest to say to my kid, my readers then, you know what? When you are wounded or have a loss, you may stumble. And especially if, like Peter, you don't have a lot of support from, you know, your family members are for the most part gone, or he has a grandfather who's just stuck in his own rut. I get it, and I want to be respectful of choices you might make that aren't the best in the beginning.
You seem to really care deeply about your readers.
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever said this to you, but this is a real guiding principle in my writing life. And I heard something when I was just starting the Clementine series that changed me as a writer. And it just changed the way I wrote. And it was this: Carl Jung was once asked, why is there evil in the world? His answer was, there's evil in the world when people can't tell their stories. And I really took that to heart. That really moved me. So I realized, okay, kids can't tell their stories easily, because to do so, you need a powerful, loud voice. You need narrative skills, you need a platform, and you need an audience, okay? I have all those things, thanks to people like you. I have, you know, an audience, and I have a platform, and I was somehow gifted with narrative skills and a loud enough voice. So I realized, instead of writing for children in the sense that here you go, here's a present, the for does not mean you get it. The for means I'm doing it in your place until you can do it. I write for children because they can't make a story. Yeah, they don't have everything I have to tell a story. So I'm very conscious of that. Best thing you could ever say to me is that some reader took my book to their parent or someone, who, an adult that they want to get through to, and say, this is what I mean. This is how I feel. This is what happens to me too. This is what I would tell you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that changed my writing way for the better. I was just writing entertainment until that happened.
I just have one last question, Sarah.
Sure.
What is your hope for this book?
Oh, I certainly hope that it goes to all the people who read the first one, because it's really part of it. I thought I ended it at the right place, but now that I look back on it, I really feel it's a two-parter. And there are things that happen in the first book that are addressed in this second book. So I hope that, I mean, I couldn't ask for more. The reception and the love and the support I've had from parents and teachers and booksellers and kids themselves has been phenomenal for PAX, just more than I could ask for. So I guess I want the same. I really do want the kids who read PAX to read this one.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Yarn. Thank you to Sarah Pennypacker for taking the time to chat with me. I hope that you all enjoy PAX's journey home as much as I did. Thank you to Philip Stead for creating our theme song. Additional music for this episode comes from the Free Music Archive. Thank you to Heinemann Publishing for sponsoring this episode. And thanks to my co-host, Travis Yonker, for helping me produce this show. Travis, I hope your school year is off to an amazing start. I'm Colby Sharp. Thanks for listening. Wait. Don't go just yet. After I finished interviewing Sarah, we kept chatting about PAX. After listening back to the tape, I decided it might be fun to include a little bit of bonus content for you for sticking it out to the end. Here you go. I hope you enjoy. Perfect. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Can we add one more thing that maybe you can edit?
Yeah.
And I always like to say this. I didn't make a big deal of it, but I chose on purpose. I chose the water to be the actual threat in this book, because it's damaged, it's polluted. And I make quite a bit about the fact that adults can handle this, a little bit of polluted water, but children with their, or young, I was talking about animals at the time, but children are animals. Young animals, including children, are still developing nervous systems, and it's just really unfair to not make sure they have clean water. Of course, I was thinking about the kids in Flint, Michigan, as I wrote this, and just, I guess that's a point I'm making, is we all deserve clean water, especially our youth.
Yeah, I'm really curious what it's going to be like for, well, I guess both. I'm really curious what it's gonna be like for kids who read PAX in the last, you know, with, let's say, 2 years ago or longer, and come back and read PAX Journey Home, what that experience will be like with that time between the books.
Yes.
And I'm also curious, because a lot of this will obviously bring a lot of new readers to PAX, and bring new readers to PAX, but like kids grow to the age where they're reading PAX. Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious what it's going to be like for the kid who finishes, like, I'm going to begin reading PAX, the original book, mm-hmm. in a few days in my classroom. So what will it be like for those kids who experience PAX with 27 of their peers and their teacher?
Right.
And then the next week they choose to read PAX Journey Home on their own without that time between the two books. Like, those are two such different experiences. I'm just
so,
and one is not right or wrong. I'm just so curious
right.
hear from readers. And I can still picture Russell in my third grade class who loved PAX. Mm. I just saw him yesterday. He, at freshman orientation, I have a son that is in his class. He's a high schooler.
Yes.
So I'm so curious to see what it will be like for those kids who, I mean, so he read it, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. Right. Just really, it would be an interesting.
It would be. Yeah. I will be looking forward to hearing the difference. In some ways, I think that the kids now have a much better experience, because there's something melancholy about the way PAX ends. There's just, okay, we can't have everything. But then in the next book, I think something better comes along. And I think it would be, I would have preferred to go right into it as a reader. I would have preferred to not have to wait with that for a couple of years. I don't know if it's better, but I
was
sure
thinking
would
that
have
too.
Preferred
I would have preferred it as well, but that doesn't mean it's right.
No, it doesn't. So.
Regardless, I'm so thankful for both PAX and PAX Journey Home, and I appreciate you bringing these characters to life for us.
Oh, thanks. It was my pleasure. It's really my pleasure to be back in the world of the foxes and to talk with you again.
This was lovely. Thank you, Sarah. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.